It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in New York. Amil Bera is the founder and chief investment officer of Advaya. Amil's prior experience includes several investment roles for high net worth clients. He served as vice president and senior research analyst for Wells Fargo Wealth Management in San Francisco. Prior to that, he served as relative value strategies analyst for SAIL Advisors, a Hong Kong-based fund of funds. Previously in New York, he served as the sole investment analyst for a large family office with capital allocations to private equity, venture capital, hedge funds, real estate, and opportunistic investments. Amil holds a master's in public policy from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He is a Phi Beta Kappa graduate of the University of California at Berkeley, where he attained a Bachelor of Arts in Political Economies of Industrial Societies with high honors and a departmental citation. On behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Amil. Please go ahead. And to do that, you may just need to unmute your line, please.
Okay. Thank you very much, John. Thanks for having me. Today, I'm going to discuss Appian Corporation. Appian is a low-code software company that helps enterprises develop unique applications to drive digital transformation. The company's name gives you a sense of its mission. Appian Way was the first and most strategically important road for the Roman Empire. Built in 312 BC, the road ran 230 miles from Rome to the Eastern Mediterranean and was studded with monuments. It was the piece of infrastructure that held the Roman Empire together for centuries. Reston, Virginia-based Appian started with building workforce management software for the U.S. Army in 1999. In 2004, the company pivoted to business process management software, which it sold to hundreds of businesses. In 2014, venture capital firm New Enterprises Associates made a $37.5 million investment, taking a minority ownership stake in the company. The company went public in May 2017, raising $75 million at $12 per share. In November 2017, the company completed a secondary offering at $20.25 per share. Appian was founded by four 26-year-old friends. They met at MicroStrategy, a Dulles Corridor-based software and analytics company. All of them were competitive debaters in high school, and none of them studied computer science. And all of them still work at Appian. Matt Calkins is CEO. He is also majority voting control ownership of the company. Robert Kramer is general manager and a board member. Michael Beckley is Chief Technology Officer and Chief Customer Officer. And Mark Lynch is Chief Financial Officer. So I first wanted to talk a little bit about the need for Appian software. According to a January 2017 LTM research study, 47% of global 2000 executives cited digital transformation as their highest priority. So what is meant by digital transformation? I think it's best illustrated by example. One example is Appian customer Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. The airport is the eighth busiest in the world and the size of Manhattan. Until 3 years ago, many of the airport's processes were paper-based. The chief information officer came to Appian with the goal of digitally transforming the airport. DFW leveraged Appian software in the cloud. Airport employees were able to write 40 different software applications within 18 months. The airport was able to reduce paper consumption by 50%. Today, with Appian, DFW employees can run operations from a mobile tablet. For example, to optimize the customer experience, compliance requirements for the more than 200 shops and restaurants on the campus are managed via the Appian mobile app. The airport even has a janitorial dispatch app, which alerts staff about restroom facility conditions, a top concern for travelers. According to an International Data Group study, more than half of new software development projects are delivered but don't meet business needs or are not delivered at all. Technical debt, defined as the implied cost of additional rework caused by choosing an easy solution over the right solution, is a major part of the problem. Organizations lose about 2/5 of their application development time to technical debt. In essence, tens of billions of IT dollars are wasted in attempts to digitally transform. So enterprises face a number of digital transformation challenges, including an endless backlog of technology projects and initiatives. IT staff are often burdened with a plethora of requests, and prioritization can be challenging. IT teams spend nearly 80% of their time on maintenance and only 20% on innovation. The need to maintain existing infrastructure often crowds out technological innovation. Shadow IT. Due to the inability of IT teams to meet business needs quickly, business units develop their own software. When software is developed by multiple business units, it becomes shadow IT. The lack of integration and information silos. Shadow IT leads to dispersed information throughout an enterprise. This could result in lost opportunities and business failures. And developer talent is expensive and scarce. All companies face competition hiring and retaining competent developers in-house. A packaged software is often inadequate. It may not meet the specific business needs of a business unit. And then custom software is slow to build and expensive. On average, a custom software solution takes 2.7 years to build. So how does an enterprise digitally transform while delighting stakeholders? One solution is a best-in-class low-code platform that enables rapid delivery of business applications with a minimum of hand-coding and minimal upfront investment in setup, training, and deployment. According to Appian, developing an app on their platform is as simple as drawing a picture. So let's talk a little bit about the market opportunity for Appian's platform. According to Gartner, global IT spending is expected to total $3.7 trillion in 2018, of which enterprise software spending is $389 billion. Enterprise software spending is expected to grow 8.4% to $421 billion this year. Of this, the market for custom software is estimated at $169 billion. The size of Appian's core market, including low-code platform software, case management software, business process management software, and application platform as a service, totaled $23.6 billion in 2017. This is expected to grow to $44.4 billion in the next few years. The low-code platform market is expected to grow from $4.3 billion in 2017 to $27.2 billion by 2022. This represents a greater than 45% annual compounded growth rate. Based on Appian's calculations, the current market opportunity for its platform is $31 billion and growing rapidly. Appian's past 12-month revenues of $215 million are less than 1% of the company's estimated market opportunity. So let's talk a bit more about Appian. Appian CEO Matt Calkins recently stated, quote, "Great software is complicated. Appian's mission is to make it simple. When companies can write great software for themselves, they can define their own personality, move at the speed of their customers, and shape the meaning of their own brand. We're giving all companies a better way to write unique software, a way that is faster to build, easier to change, more mobile, more portable in the cloud, more integrated, and more secure," unquote. So Appian's purpose is to help enterprises develop and maintain unique digital identities. The low-code platform is known for ease of use, speed, and power. It is easy to use because it requires minimal coding due to drag-and-drop development. It requires little upfront training. It requires little ongoing maintenance. It provides instant mobility, and it enables seamless data integration. Appian's software is also known for speed. According to Forrester Research, developers leveraging low-code software can build applications 6 to 20 times faster than if using traditional developer software. According to Appian, development on its platform is 20 times faster than writing custom applications through traditional software. And Appian software is powerful. The Appian platform is scalable, enterprise-grade software. An application can be rolled out quickly and easily throughout an organization of any size. Appian also has patented self-assembling interface layer technology. Appian Cell ensures that applications developed on the platform can be immediately deployed across a full range of mobile and desktop devices with no additional customization. The company has two patents for Cell, both expiring in 2034. And there's various deployment options. Customers can deploy Appian software via cloud, natively on premises, or through a customized hybrid cloud-native approach. And all customers get the same platform capabilities. Appian also has robust security and privacy incorporated into the software. Data security is the most pressing challenge and highest concern for enterprises. Appian is at the forefront of security and privacy amongst low-code platforms. Appian Cloud received FedRAMP authorization in 2015, making it the first business process management cloud-based software available for use by U.S. federal government agencies. Appian Cloud is HIPAA compliant, opening it to use by enterprises that handle protected health information. And Appian Cloud is also payments card industry DSS and SOC 2 and SOC 3 compliant. Appian also offers a guarantee, deliver business applications faster, guaranteed. In October 2018, the company announced the Appian Guarantee, which provides a focused 8-week delivery period for an enterprise's first application project at a flat fee of $150,000. This includes clearly documented guidelines, full use of Appian standard features, collaborative application design, implementation best practices, and more to ensure successful delivery. Appian also guarantees that anyone technical can be trained as an Appian developer in 2 weeks. The company also has an anti-Silicon Valley culture. It's relatively unique for a software company. The CEO has created a workplace that departs from the ostentatious flair commonly associated with technology companies. For example, the company generally discourages remote work and encourages in-person collaboration. Every new hire is interviewed by one of the company co-founders. Management adheres to a non-box movement philosophy. Employees often jump laterally into other departments without any experience in the new line of work. This approach towards human resource management is colored by Matt Calkins' own experiences. In an interview, he stated, quote, "I don't know that I have ever had the qualifications for the roles that I've attempted. I experienced firsthand how it is possible to rise to that kind of challenge with enough determination," unquote. Additionally, argumentativeness is central to Appian's corporate culture. Management encourages productive confrontation. For example, when two people are conducting a business meeting, managers will order that a third, unrelated person be present, just to challenge each side from another direction. Appian management believes that debate leads to destruction of bad ideas before they are implemented, and such creative destruction results in constant innovation and growth, both of the Appian platform and its employees. And Appian's culture seems to work well. The company topped the Washington Post Top Workplaces 2018 list, which includes over 150 employers in the DC area. Additionally, CEO Matt Calkins received the paper's 2018 CEO Leadership Award. And Appian has been on the Top Workplaces list for all of the 5 years that the list has been published. And the rankings are based solely on employee survey feedback. Additionally, Appian boasts annual attrition rates between 10 and 15%. That's substantially lower than the 22.4% average turnover for software companies reported by HR consultancy A.N. Hewitt. And all of Appian's founders are still employees, and most executives have been with the company for more than 10 years. And Appian employees are owners. According to SEC filings, virtually all Appian employees had stock options and or shares at the time of the company's IPO in 2017. Let's talk a bit about Appian's customers. This slide is taken from Appian's 2017 annual report. At the end of 2017, Appian had 356 enterprise customers, including 285 commercial and 71 governmental and non-governmental organizations. 29% of the commercial customers were Global 2000 corporations, including 44 of the Fortune 500. Appian focuses its sales efforts on organizations with more than 2,000 employees and $2 billion in revenue. Most sales are direct to customer, while some sales are through strategic partners, including PwC, Deloitte, and KPMG. 66% of Appian's revenues come from three industries: financial services, healthcare, and government. And the company currently gets 27% of its revenues from outside the US. The Appian platform is subscription-based, and the value of Appian increases for an enterprise as more apps are developed and more users are trained. This also benefits Appian through higher subscription revenue. Currently, no one customer is greater than 10% of the company's revenues. The company hosts an annual Appian World two-day event, which is the industry's premier event on digital transformation and intelligent automation. And Appian's growth strategy includes growing its customer base, landing and expanding, which means start with a few users in an enterprise and one app, then expand to many users and many apps. Gaining market share in key verticals of financial services, healthcare, and government. By strengthening its platform offerings through releases like Quick Apps, AI services, and robotic process automation. Expanding the company's international footprint beyond the 11 non-US locations currently, and deepening its strategic partnerships. Now a bit about the company's gross margins. Appian generates revenue through subscriptions and professional services fees. Subscription revenue is the total annual fees that Appian collects from users. Professional services fees are consulting charges collected when helping new clients deploy software, create applications, and training in-house staff or reviewing new applications. Appian's goal is to generate primarily subscription-based revenue. From 2015 to 17, subscription revenue grew from $53 million to $91.5 million, while professional services revenue grew from $58 million to $85.2 million. As the bar charts above illustrate, gross margin on subscription revenue is consistently above 90%, while gross margin on professional service revenue is closer to 30%. So overall gross margin is currently 64%. As software subscription revenue becomes a larger portion of the total, gross margins will expand. Subscription revenue is currently growing at a 42% annual rate. Subscription revenue retention has ranged between 110 and 120%, meaning that existing customers are expanding their use of the platform. And most enterprise contracts are multi-year. Subscription revenue is usually recognized ratably over a 1 to 5 year period. And by landing and expanding, the expectation is that enterprise customers will add users over time as they realize the value of the platform. The business also has some seasonality. The fourth quarter is when most new agreements and renewals occur. And the company continues to run at a loss in order to expand the platform and adopt new users. The next slide talks a little bit about competition. Enterprise software is a competitive industry, and low-code is no different. Given the rapidly growing market opportunity and novelty, gaining an early foothold with enterprise customers determines a platform's growth trajectory. A platform that meets the evolving needs of customers over decades is likely to attract more IT dollars. The illustration on this slide is from Forrester's fourth quarter 2017, the Forrester Wave Low-Code Development Platforms report. Using a 26 criteria evaluation of low-code platforms, Forrester identified the 13 most significant options on the market today. Appian is considered to have a strong strategy and to be one of the most comprehensive low-code software offerings on the market. In low-code software, Appian faces competition from Salesforce.com and ServiceNow. In business process and case management software, Appian's biggest competitors are IBM, OpenText, Oracle, Pegasystems, and SAP. Appian also faces competition from custom software developers. Salesforce is the market's gorilla. Forrester estimates that Force.com has over 100,000 customers compared to Appian's less than 400 enterprise customers. Despite its vast resources, Salesforce faces challenges evolving its 15-year-old platform into the mobile era. Another weakness is that Salesforce relies on partners to develop features rather than build them into the platform. So Appian's advantages include ease of use and integration, total cost of ownership, features, and performance of the platform. Some of Appian's disadvantages include fewer financial resources, fewer technical resources, less name recognition, a smaller sales and marketing budget and team, a smaller and less mature IP portfolio, and a single product line. Yet somehow Appian's platform delights its customers. According to the company, its customers give the platform a 98% approval rating. Gartner recently indicated, quote, Appian customer reference indicated a higher degree of satisfaction with the Appian platform compared with other vendors surveyed. Appian customer references reported a median time to production implementation of less than 3 months, lowest of any vendor surveyed. And PC Magazine's review of the Appian platform stated, quote, Appian was the most mature, easiest to use, low-code platform we tested, unquote. Yet Appian faces an uphill battle. The company's unwavering focus on building the best product to help the widest array of enterprises develop unique digital identities, improve operations, and cut costs is its greatest competitive advantage. Ultimately, the platform that constantly innovates to meet customer needs and gains market acceptance should lead. Yet there are risks to Appian's growth. One risk we've identified is the well-heeled competitors. The enterprise software market is competitive and low-code is no different. Appian faces competition from more established companies with far more financial and technical resources. Salesforce, in particular, has deep relationships with a broad range of customers, and they potentially can make competing low-code software available at low or no cost, bundling it into existing offerings used by its customers. Another risk is finding and retaining talent. Programming and sales talent can be difficult to attract in the software industry. The cost of labor is rising while immigration and temporary visas for foreign workers are increasingly restricted. And Amazon's recent announcement that one of its two new headquarters will be located in the Dulles Corridor may make it more challenging for Reston-based Appian to attract and retain talent locally. Another risk is shareholder concentration. Abdio Capital currently owns 40% of Appian's Class A stock and continues to add shares. The concentrated hedge fund started in 2006 and has over $1 billion in assets under management. Given its share of the float, should Abdio liquidate its position, there would be a significant and prolonged decline in the share price. Our understanding is that Abdio is a long-term investor focused on companies that have recurring revenue and that are managed by people like CEO Matt Calkin with a large share of their net worth in the stock. They value businesses based on their estimate of the return on a company's cash flows that a company's cash flows would deliver to someone who bought the entire business at the available stock price and held it permanently. Also, Appian's Class B shareholders have 97% of the voting power. CEO Matt Calkin retains 58% of voting power for the entire company. While Calkin has publicly stated, it's not our goal in life to be bought by somebody else and become irrelevant, unquote, it is unclear to us what Abdio's endgame is. And then there's some key man risk. Matt Calkins is the driving force behind the obsessive culture. He also has voting control of the company. While the other three founders are still working at Appian, should Calkins no longer be at the company, it would materially impact the future trajectory. That said, we believe that the culture is ingrained in others in executive management. Also, we believe that Appian could easily attract buyers should management and the board decide to sell. And then software development innovation replacing low-code. Appian's success will depend in large part on demand growth for low-code solutions. If the Appian platform does not achieve widespread adoption, or there is a reduction in demand for low-code solutions caused by a lack of customer acceptance, it could result in fewer new clients, reduced renewal rates, and decreased subscription revenue. The next slide shows just a short history of the Appian stock price. To summarize, our investment case for Appian revolves around, first, a vast and expanding addressable market. Second, improving customer businesses while saving them a lot of money. Third, a best-in-class product. Fourth, a culture of excellence. And fifth, CEO Matt Calkins and long-term orientation of shareholders. With that, that's my presentation on Appian.
Amil, thank you so much for that presentation. Appreciate you bringing this idea to our community. I'm a little bit ignorant about this entire space, so maybe you could just elaborate a little bit on the various types of competitors. For example, I thought Salesforce.com was really a CRM company and not related to what Appian does. If you could just elaborate, you know, what software developers would actually use Appian. I mean, for example, would Google, Facebook, or any of those well-known names actually use this, or would they have their internal tools and frameworks?
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's Appian isn't necessarily for programmers. It's actually, and that's what's the beauty of it. It's almost like its own. It's not a language necessarily, but it's for people who are ignorant of programming languages to develop. Like, for example, if you wanted to develop your own software, you can learn Appian in a few weeks, and you could use a drag and drop. There's no languages involved. And that's the idea, to basically, because developer talent is so hard to find, and companies want to digitally transform faster, this is one way of doing it. And and Salesforce, you know, they have easier options than using existing languages, but Salesforce is a CRM, but they also have a lot of other stuff that they offer their customers. And in one small part of that, low-code programming is one portion of what they offer their customers, and that's where they compete with Appian. But it doesn't mean that, because that's such a small portion of their business, they're not focusing on that as readily, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, for example, like a healthcare company might internally want to use Appian and subscribe to it, and it's based on how many users internally are using it. And once you learn it, you could develop those as many apps as you want, essentially, based on your business's needs, rather than having somebody, a developer from the outside, come in and learn what your business's needs are, take a long time, charge a lot, and then by the time the software is ready, things will have changed. So the idea is that the business itself can create its own software and update it constantly as needed with people that are in-house and not necessarily programmers that don't, you know, programmers that either work for the company or don't work for the company. And does that make sense at all? Or?
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you. Other than tracking revenue or deferred revenue, what would you say would be the key data points to keep an eye on to gauge whether the thesis is playing out as expected?
Yeah, I guess, one is kind of like retention of customers. Like right now, they seem to not be having trouble with that, and they're actually growing the revenue from the customer, from existing customers. So that's always a good data. And like the business lines that are using the platform generally are growing within their customers. So like one business line will use it and then they'll see the value of it and then others will start using it. Obviously margins are important. I think, if like subscription revenue margins started falling a lot, then maybe they're needing to spend a lot more on kind of R&D and things like that, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it's something just to keep an eye on. And overall kind of revenue growth, I feel like market, you know, it's a very new market and it's a very quickly expanding market. So I think it would show that they weren't, if their revenue growth started decelerating a lot relative to the market, my assumption would be that competitors are getting more competitive and kind of taking market share. And that would basically show that their platform isn't being adopted as quickly as we would hope. But at the same time, I think customer satisfaction, especially with this, like a lot of people complain about Salesforce is kind of the software itself, but also like lack of service and things like that. And they're serving 100,000 customers, so it's a different level. But I think that's one thing that Appian seems to be pretty obsessive about. And I think long-term, it's probably, as they grow, it's probably going to be difficult to maintain that level of service, but they seem very committed to doing that, even if that means that they'll grow a little bit slower because of that. So it's quite interesting. And like one part of the model is like once you've been adopted by, say, like, I don't know, JP Morgan uses them. So like say you've been adopted by a few of their businesses and then they'll have internal people who can actually teach it internally that are totally unrelated to Appian. So the professional services revenue is more front loaded when you're selling the product and like kind of getting them ramped up. And then after that, it's almost purely subscription based revenue coming from the company. So the more subscriptions you have, obviously the higher the revenue, but also the greater your margins will be.
Okay, great. Well, Amil, thank you so much for being here and sharing this idea with our members. I would just encourage those watching to feel free to follow up with you with their own thoughts or questions, and we're happy to make the introduction. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Have a good day. Bye.